We're working through the book of 1 John, and we're in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 to 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 to 8. In some ways, John is introducing us to one of the second big themes in the book of John. Up until now, John's been reminding us about the importance of truth. But now he reminds us about the importance of love. Although all three of the themes flow right through the book of John, as you're reading through 1 John, you'll come across these themes all the time. But the third theme is about assurance of salvation. And we've already looked at some of that again. But in some ways, this passage is really the passage where John is reminding them about love. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. What's love got to do with it? Well, John says there, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. I wonder if many of you know the song by Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It? Have you ever listened to the words of that particular song? I thought it'd be good for us just to hear the words of that song in the notes that I posted. It's the last page of those notes. So if you want to follow as I read them for us. You know, it sounds like a wonderful love song, but actually when you read the song's word, you discover actually it's not such a comforting song. Listen to what he says. You must understand, though the touch of your hand makes my pulse react, that it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl, opposites attract. It's physical. It's logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than that. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It may seem to you that I'm acting confused when you're close to me. If I tend to look dazed, I've read it someplace, I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken. I've been taking on a new direction, but I have to say, I've been thinking about my own protection. It scares me to feel this way. What's love got to do with it, got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it, got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It's a rather sad song, isn't it? I know for the rest of the day you're going to be singing that song. What's love got to do with it, eh? Since I looked at this and started reading it in preparation for the sermon, I've been singing that song over and over again in my head. I've been trying to get rid of it out of my head, but even in the middle of the night, I woke up singing, what's love got to do with it? Friend, as you look at this song, which in some ways is a theme song for love, actually it's not so happy. It's about your feelings, how you feel, how it makes you feel, the tingling sensation. It's about not getting your heart broken. You can love, but keep it at a distance. Don't come too close. That last, second last verse, I'm taking on a new protection, but I have to say, I'm thinking about my own protection. This love, friends, is all about me, isn't it? It's all about what I'm going to get out of it. What it's all about me. Friends, John is reminding us of a very different kind of love. And he contrasts the love of the world and the love of Christ in this passage. How different is the love of the world as opposed to the love of Jesus? So first of all, what is the pattern of worldly love that John talks about? He says this, don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. First of all, he gives us an example of worldly love. Who's the example of worldly love? The example of worldly love, friend, is Cain. You know what the word Cain means? The word Cain literally means my possession. When Cain was born to Adam and Eve, Adam said, this is my possession. And so he called him Cain. But interestingly, not only is it his name, but it reflects his character. Cain represents or symbolizes me and mine. When his brother's sacrifice was accepted and his was not, he immediately felt envious and bitter. He didn't go to his brother and say, tell me how I can also have a sacrifice that would be acceptable to God. Immediately he felt he was being hurt in this process. How true is this of the pattern of love in the world today? Love in the world that's all about me and what I can get out of it. I wonder if you would ever divorce yourself. Imagine if we were all the same. Every one of us had the same personality. Every one of us kind of, believed the same things. Every one of us, you know, even maybe looked a little bit the same. But essentially I'm saying, if everything about us was the same, maybe our looks were a little bit different. Would you get married to yourself? What kind of person are you? What's your love? Would you kind of so get frustrated by this person that you would want to divorce them? Would you divorce yourself? What's love got to do with it? So the pattern of the worldly love is Cain. What's the source of worldly love? John reminds us that the source of worldly love, friends, is the devil. It says they belong to the evil one. Two verses remind us of that, that the devil is at the root of evil. In John chapter 8, John had written earlier on, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. In Corinthians 4 verse 4, we read, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Friends, Satan is continually blinding people to the truth of God. He continues to do that. He continues to kind of make people think that this world is all about them. Not about anybody else. What am I going to get out of it? Where do I fit into this picture? What are my rights? Those are phrases we hear all the time in the world that we're living in. But friends, the source of those self-centered experiences of love is all about me, not about others. What is the action of worldly love? Well, John is so bold as to say, the action of worldly love is murder. Now, most of us would probably not think we're murderers, would we? Most of us wouldn't think of the world around us, people who don't go to church, as murderers. But friends, in many ways, that is really what's happening. Listen to the book of James, who tries to describe this attitude, this motives. Listen to John again. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth. For there's no truth in him. When he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What's murder? Well, if we define murder in this way, you may understand that maybe sometimes we are acting like murderers. Murderers, friends, are people who are denying others the right to living or to life. That's what a murderer is. Now we understand that from a physical sense. We understand that, you know, if you attack somebody or stab somebody or shoot somebody or kill somebody in some sort of way, that you are a murderer. But friends, when you are suppressing somebody, so that they're not able to flourish, when you're not sharing the gospel with somebody, in fact, you may be committing murder because you're not giving them the opportunity to have eternal life, friends. Every action we do that belittles somebody is killing their spirit in one way or another. And that's the world around us. Because you see, in the world around us, for you to get to the top, You've got to climb on whoever you need to be able to get to the top. And that's what the world is telling us all the time. You've got to be at the top of the pile. You've got to be the king of the castle. That action is defined by John as murder. What's the motive behind this worldly love? John defines it as self-centeredness. Look what he says. He says, your own actions are evil. And he has the book of James. Listen to what he says. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you don't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you don't ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You're asking so that you may spend that what you get on your own pleasure. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Boy, James couldn't put it any clearer, could he? What drives the world, friends? What's the motive in worldly love? It's about me. Me, 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 all the time. Finally, what's the result of worldly love? John defines it very clearly and simply as death. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. He writes in Ephesians, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Friends, it's not as if you are dying if you don't know Christ. If you aren't following Christ, if he isn't what drives and motivates you, you are already dead. It's not that you're dying, you're already dead. What you need is life. And only Jesus can give you life. Only Jesus can give you a future and a purpose in life. But after describing the pattern of the worldly love, fortunately, John doesn't stop there. Because that, let me remind you, is what John is trying to do. He's trying to remind us as the church, what are the basics of Christianity? What all of us as Christians should be doing. And he makes it so very clear that from the beginning, we should have learned how to love one another. But this is the pattern of love, of Christian love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and in truth. So who's the example of Christian love? Well, friends, it's Jesus, of course. Jesus Christ. If Cain's name means possession, me, mine, I, Jesus Christ's name means the anointed rescuer. Friends, Jesus' very name is about other people. It's not about himself. Cain is all about himself. Me, mine, I. But Jesus, the word Jesus means Savior. The one who saves. The word Christ means anointed. So he is the one who's anointed to be our rescuer. He truly is our liberator. When his brother sacrificed, when Jesus sees his brother sacrifices not being accepted, Jesus comes and says to those who sacrifices, because friends, we all go to God and we offer sacrifices to him to try and win his approval. And when Jesus realizes that the sacrifices we're offering to God don't win God's approval, Jesus says, I'll be your sacrifice. I'll be the one who's willing to die for you. The example of Christian love, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you love people enough to be willing to die for them? What's the source of Christian love? Well, the source of Christian love is found in the heart of God himself, friends. The love of God. Two verses remind us of God's love. Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That very well-known verse, John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Isn't it interesting that John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, and 1 John 3 verse 16 says, this is the message you heard from the beginning, love one another. Friends, one of those wonderful pictures of the wonderful truth of Scripture, how the Gospel of John is reflected in the letter of John as well. Nothing, friends, can separate us from the love of God in Christ. What are the actions of Christian love? If the actions of worldly love is murder, the action of Christian love is service. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity, how can the love of God be in him? Friends, the way we show our love is through our actions. How do we love each other? Through our actions. What's the motive behind Christian love? Fourthly, the motive behind worldly love, friends, is self-centeredness. But the motive behind Christian love is sacrifice. Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. John 15 reminds us, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Friends, something, sacrifice is providing someone with a right to live. Are we willing to sacrifice? There's a story told of a man who was an operator of one of those bridges that opened and closed like that. Sometimes they were open to let the boats through. Sometimes they were closed to let the traffic across. Well, on one occasion, this particular bridge was a bridge that was for trains. On one occasion, his young son came to visit him. And the man would look, there was a big hole in the ground. As he would look down into that ground, he would be able to see the big steel cog that moved and opened, the bridge opened and closed it, and he would be able to see whether it was working properly and whether the bridge was operating properly. Well, this young boy came, young son came to visit him one day, and as typical of young boys, he was playing around and he slipped and fell into the hole, right into the cog of the gear. And the man knew in 1 minute's time a train was coming full of people. And if he didn't let down that bridge, it would crash into the bridge and probably go over the bridge into the water. And he was faced with a dilemma. Do I sacrifice my son, or do I sacrifice the people on the train? Of course, he sacrificed his son. Let down the bridge. The boy was crushed in the mangling of the gears as they went over. And the people on the train went happily on their way, not knowing that a sacrifice had been paid for their safety. Friends, how willing are we to sacrifice? We don't need people to pat us on the back. We don't need people to say, well done. We'll get that one day when we get to heaven, friends. But are we willing to sacrifice now? What's the result of Christian love? The result of Christian love, friends, is acceptance. If the result of worldly love is murder and death, the result of Christian love is acceptance. We often sing that song, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. So, what's love got to do with it? Love, friend, isn't a second-hand emotion. Love isn't protecting your heart so that it won't be broken. Love is giving your all so that others may know and experience the mercy of God. Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations reminds us, he says this, I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them and my soul is downcast within me. What Jeremiah is saying, friends, is doesn't matter what life throws at you, friends. Sometimes life may not be easy. But the verse carries on and says this, yet I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Friends, we're able to love because we have been loved. We don't have the capacity to love within ourselves, friends. Our love, our worldly love, is self-centered. What do I get out of it? How are my feelings touched? What's the benefit to me? Am I excited by it? But friends, when we give love, when we show the love of Christ, when we display the love of Christ in small and big ways, friends, then the mercy of God fills us new every day with his faithfulness. What's love got to do with it? As a Christian, everything. Everything, my friend. How will the world know who God is? They'll know it through our love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Forgive us, Lord, when we do love like the world from time to time. Take our eyes off ourselves, Lord. Keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to learn from you what ultimate sacrifice is all about. Help us to live in such a way that you are honored in everything we say and do. May all glory be to you. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.